How much do you know about eating disorders? Unless you've kind of had your life affected by one, there's often a lot of misconceptions. And I think if you said eating disorder to a person who hadn't had it in their lives, they might be inclined to think of a very thin teenage girl. But of course, eating disorders actually affect a wide subsection of society. I'm being joined on the phone by Professor John Dixon. He's Senior Research Fellow from Monash University. Good morning, Professor.
Morning, Nick.
Now, your particular interest in study is binge eating disorders and how it relates to weight, isn't it?
Yes, I'm interested in anything that's related to weight, in particular, people who are very big, and we've got so many more of them in the Australian community today, and in particular, the impact that this has on their broad quality of life, which includes psychological well-being, physical and mental well-being, but particularly it interacts with the psychological problems, and they're characterized by depression, anxiety, binge eating disorder, which is very common amongst people trying to lose weight, and at times bulimia, which occurs in people trying to lose weight and doing it perhaps inappropriately.
So just to be clear, bulimia is the act of binging and then purging afterwards?
It's not necessarily. It's the act of purging and forced emptying of the stomach. And it does occur in people who are binging. It can occur in people who aren't binging. But it is part of a way that people do try and lose weight. And of course, you could imagine the difficulty of trying to lose weight if you had binge eating disorder, where you were eating out of control large amounts of food and then feeling terrible about it. So these conditions have a very significant impact on the person who's got a weight problem. And when we look at the very big people in Australia, those women over 90 kilograms and men over 115 kilograms, those people have very high rates of these eating disorders, possibly driven by their obesity, possibly driving their obesity. There's an interaction which is very important that we need to understand better.
Now, I imagine the social stigma is a huge element of this. I mean, certainly obesity tends to be, I think in Australia specifically, regarded as something you've somehow deserved. It's like a punishment for your bad behaviours.
That's right. It's seen as a behavioural choice. It's seen as a punishment for bad behaviours. And the stigmatization is horrendous. It's absolutely seen in every part of society, from school to home to work, and of course in the healthcare services. And nothing could be further from the truth than it's something brought on by yourself. And we understand now that the determinants of obesity, what drives it, are very complex, and much of it is in your genes, much of it is how your genes are programmed before you're born and then in the first years of life. And there is little one can do if one has obesity that is effective once you're into your teenage years. So we find that we've got a large portion of Australians struggling with their weight day after day, year after year. It's a chronic condition that you can't cure, but we can treat. But we can also treat the psychological burden. We can also treat the eating disorders it produces. We can improve mental quality of life, physical quality of life, even though our attempts to treat this effectively medically are very rarely taken up. But we can make people's quality of life better, and we need to do that.
I do think there's a lot of fat shaming hides itself in this kind of paternalistic, I'm just worried about your health.
I think we can be worried about health. We can be worried about mental well-being. I think it's not entirely paternalistic at all. People are worried about health. We have a generation that's not likely to live as long as the next this generation. We're seeing this problem. The people born in the 80s came into an obesogenic world. Those born before that didn't. So it is a health issue. It's a mental health issue. It's a physical issue. It's a stigmatization issue. And until we really come to grips with the complexity of it, we will have trouble addressing prevention, and we'll have trouble dealing with adequate management of these people who really find interaction with health services problematic, and they do have enormous health issues.
It sounds like the treatment needs to be threefold to a degree to address all of those issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's exactly what we're on about. To think that someone goes and sees a surgeon and has a sleeve gastrectomy and they're cured is bizarre. We do need to address all of those things in a very careful way. You see, we do this for conditions such as diabetes and heart disease and cancer. We do it for those conditions. But this condition that produces such impaired quality of life is just left in the too hard basket or the stigmatized basket to say, well, if they brought it on themselves, what more could you do? We're not going to effectively provide the services to treat this group of people. So largely, big Australians are neglected. And, you know, they don't look for help all that often because they kind of blame themselves anyway. They join that commoner garden belief that, well, if I'd have just behaved myself, I'd have been okay.
Professor, fascinating stuff. Thanks for chatting to Breakfast this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Professor John Dixon there. He's the head clinical obesity researcher at the Baker Heart and Diabetes Institute at Monash University, looking at some of the stigmatisation that bigger Australians find and how it leads to them not getting the treatment they might require, including the psychological support they may need, suffering from so much social exclusion.